If you have your Bible with you, please open with me to John chapter 10, Gospel of John chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 1 through 11 of John chapter 10. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and they lead him and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Really powerful passage. You could probably spend months dissecting that passage. But a few weeks ago, we looked at another teaching of Jesus from Matthew chapter 7, different gospel, Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus talks about the wide gate and the wide road. The wide gate and the wide road that lots and lots and lots of people can walk, but that leads to destruction. And he also talked about the narrow gate and the narrow road that few people walk that leads to life. And we named that how walking, both walking through the gate and walking continuously down the road are both necessary. It's not just a gate, it's not just a road, but both together are necessary for our full formation in salvation. Okay, it's not just a one-time quick, I said a prayer when I was 7 years old at VBS, and now I'm good for the rest of my life, walk through the gate. But after going through the gate, what does that journey look like? What does walking that road look like? So it's both the gate and the road. And now here, in a different gospel, in John chapter 10, Jesus declares that he is both the gate that all must go through to find salvation, and he's the good shepherd. He says, "I am the gate, and I am the good shepherd who knows and calls and guides his sheep along that road that leads to life." So Jesus is the gate and the shepherd that guides the sheep along the road. But I really want to highlight just one part of one verse out of this whole reading this morning. I want to highlight part of verse 4 for you, where Jesus says, "His sheep follow him because they know his voice." His sheep follow him because they know his voice. Today, in our Practicing the Way series, we're going to be talking about the practice of being in Scripture, of being in God's Word. And maybe you've gotten a different message from church. I've been, thankfully, my parents raised me in the church. I've been a part of church my entire life. But part of that has included maybe a somewhat misinformed message about what the Bible is and should be. For most of my life, the message I heard about the Bible is that you better be in the Bible a lot. You better be in the Bible a lot or you're a bad Christian. You better be in this, you better be in it daily, you better be in it all the time, or else you are a bad Christian. And it was always associated with this negative connotation. That if you miss a day, you've blown it. If you miss a day, you should feel guilty. If you aren't in it for a week, oh God forbid, a whole week, like don't even come to church, so everybody's going to know, and don't even talk to anyone. It was kind of associated with, if you don't do this good enough, you're not good enough. Maybe you've heard something similar. But I don't think that was the message that Jesus ever intended to send. Now, we've seen already in this series, we have been invited and commanded by Jesus to follow him as his apprentices. Okay, kind of the premise of this whole series is that disciples are apprentices, learning to become like their master, learning to become like Jesus. And so he invites and he commands his first disciples, follow me. And he invites and he commands us, follow me. And here in John 10, he says that in order to follow him, we need to hear his voice. In order to follow him, we need to know his voice. We need to be listening for his voice. And the primary way that Jesus speaks to us is through Scripture, through the Word of God. Okay, so this isn't about, this being in God's Word isn't about, I don't think, not being good enough or not measuring up enough or I better get in there a lot or whatever. It's about, are we listening to the voice of the shepherd or not? And if we aren't listening, what are we missing out on? If we are listening, what could that look like in our lives? There's a quote we looked at last week about the practice of prayer. Last week we looked at the practice of prayer, about how prayer is a relational connecting point between us and God, a relational connecting point. And then the author of the Practicing the Way book, John Mark Comer, he writes this about, again, this is about prayer. He says, without quiet prayer, your life with God will wither. With it, you will come alive to the greatest joy of life, a familiar friendship to Jesus. Really, really like that quote. Because I think the same goes with Scripture. That being in the Bible, being in God's Word, is never intended to be this burdensome chore that we need to do perfectly or else we're bad people. But I think we need to view it in the context of relationship. If you rarely listen to your spouse, or you barely ever pay attention to your kids, how close are you going to be with them? Not very. Your relationship won't be very strong. And yet we go weeks, we go months, we go periods of our lives barely giving any attention to God's word, and then we're like, God, why are you so distant? You're not listening to the voice of the shepherd, that's why. Because you're missing that voice. That's not, I don't think, meant to be the shame on you, you're a failure thing, but you can't follow the shepherd's voice if you're not listening to it. So reading and exploring God's word is meant to be a blessing for us, not a chore. It's a means of grace, a means of us aligning ourselves with where God wants to be active in our lives. So when we neglect it, we miss out. So hopefully, I want to get away from this shame on you for not being in the Bible more kind of view of it, but maybe more of a, if we're not listening to the voice of the shepherd, if we're not connecting with our Lord, if we're not striving to know more of him through how he's revealing himself through Scripture, what are we missing out on? So if we're viewing this whole series as striving to be apprentices of Christ, being with Christ, becoming like him, doing as he did, so if we're talking about Scripture as this apprentice practice, it's important for us to ask, how did Jesus view Scripture? What did Jesus say about Scripture? He said a lot. One particular passage I want to look at comes from the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 17. Jesus says this about the Scripture that they had at that time. So when he says the law and the prophets, he means the Bible as they had it at that time. He says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophet, law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter or the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Okay. A lot here. Really, really quick. I think in this text, Jesus upholds the importance of Scripture. Okay, it's not going to disappear. It's not going to go away. Until heaven and earth disappear, it's not going to go away. So it's never going to go away. Amen. Sorry, guys, it's too cute. And he says that he has come not to remake everything, not to throw all that out, but says, I'm the fulfillment of all that has been written. I'm the fulfillment of this. What I teach, I'm fulfilling and clarifying and showing you what was meant by this. And so one thing I really want to zoom in on, though, that's really pertinent to this series, check out the wording of verse 19. He says, whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, and we're in this series called Practicing the Way. And I'm doing sermon prep this week, and I see this, and I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever practices these commands. Whoever practices these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. By kingdom of heaven, it does not mean kind of how we view heaven sometimes with the pearly gate and the cloud city and what mansion am I going to have in heaven someday. Greatness in the kingdom of heaven in this context is not, you know, you have this mansion and you've got an in-ground pool and they get an above-ground pool and you're a little bit better off than them. It's not about heaven someday. But kingdom of heaven in this context is another way of saying kingdom of God. You will be great in the kingdom of heaven. You will be great in the kingdom of God, meaning you'll be great in God's reign and rule here on earth, in God's priorities, God's purposes, God's will, what he wants to do, how he wants to connect to people, how he wants to unify the church, in all these things that God wants to do, you're going to be great and primary in what God wants to do because you are devoted to what he has taught, because you're practicing it, you're living it out. And so again, Jesus isn't saying that Scripture, he's saying Scripture isn't some chore or burden or guilt trip. But if we ignore Scripture, if we neglect God's word, we miss out on important and influential things that Jesus wants to do in us, that he wants to do through us. In other words, there's this a direct relationship between the incorporation of Scripture into our lives and God forming us to be people of his kingdom. A relationship between the incorporation of Scripture into our lives and God forming us into people of his kingdom that are influential in his kingdom. So this leads us to another question. How? How do we read Scripture in such a way that we meet God there? How do we read Scripture in such a way that it isn't some, you know, checklist, spiritual chore that if I don't do, I'm going to feel bad about myself? When we look at Psalm 119, the book of Psalms is really probably one of my favorite books of the Bible. If you open up the middle of the Bible, I'm going to try to do this if I did it right. I did it again. I turned to Proverbs. But near the middle of the Bible, right before Proverbs is Psalms, near the middle of the Bible is the book of Psalms. Psalms is 150 songs, 150 poems. This was the song book for the people of Israel. Okay, they didn't have like a worship team like we did. They didn't have a hymnal like we do. They had the Psalms. They would pray through the Psalms and sing the Psalms. And there's 150 of them smack dab in the middle of the Bible. 150 of them. And Psalm 119 is the longest of all the Psalms. I'm throwing a lot of numbers at you. Psalm 119 has 176 verses. 176 verses in that one, just that one Psalm. And it's 176 verses of the psalmist saying how much God's word has meant to his life. How much he loves God's word because it has meant everything to him. And throughout Psalm 119, it touches on different ways we can and should be practicing Scripture as Jesus' apprentices. Different ways we are more familiar with the voice of the Good Shepherd in tangible, practical ways. But in Psalm 119, it kind of gives us our practice plan for Scripture. Throughout the Psalm, it talks about reading Scripture, meditating on Scripture, studying it, and memorizing it. Reading, meditating on, studying, and memorizing God's Word. And this is going to be our practice plan for this practice of Scripture as we're striving to learn to be like our Master Jesus Christ. When we are apprenticing under him and studying him and learning to be like him, this is a major practice that we're going to enter into. Okay, and so this sermon is going to be a little bit different than normal. It's going to be a lot like what is our practice plan for getting into God's Word? Hopefully I have some practical stuff to leave you with. But first, let's start with read. Read is a pretty good place to start. We need to be reading God's Word. And in Psalm 119, verse 16, the psalmist says, I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. I won't neglect your word. And so there is a planned out practice element to our relationship with Scripture where we need to be committed to being in it every day, need to be in it regularly. That it's not a, oh man, I missed Wednesday, I'm the worst Christian ever, but oh, I missed Wednesday, so I don't know, I feel off. I missed out on what God has for me that day. We have a church of very different experiences with God in general. And I want to throw out a challenge to all of us this week. To be in the Bible, to be reading the Bible for at least 10 minutes a day throughout this entire week. Okay? I want you to write that challenge down. I'm going to get in teacher mode for a minute. Get out your pencils, your number two pencil. Don't use a pen. I'll get mad at you. I don't care what you use. Just write it down. Be in the Bible for 10 minutes, at least 10 minutes a day this week. And for some of you, that's only 10 minutes a day. Kind of the bar is kind of low, Pastor PJ. Fine. Do 100 minutes. I don't care if that's you. I'm kind of giving a starting point for all of us because some people here are like, I don't know what to do with this. Some of us are here saying, I don't even know where to start. The PJ gives these sermons. We get into the Bible. It's like, where does he even get this stuff from? It's totally foreign to me. Start 10 minutes a day. Reading the Bible with an anticipation of God being present and active in those moments. And if you try this and you kill it on Monday, but on Tuesday you forget, start again Wednesday. I don't care. Start again. So again, some of you are doing this already. Keep it up. Keep up that practice of daily being in God's Word. That's huge. But again, some of you have never been in God's Word before on your own. Start this week. Start this week. And that's what we're talking about. This is a starting point. Okay, this is not a quick one-week spiritual health cleanse that's going to get us to a place, whoa, I read the Bible 10 minutes every day this week. I am now exactly where I need to be in my walk with Jesus. It's not about that. Okay, you can read the Bible for 5 hours a day this week. And if all you do is this week and then never do it again, it's not going to mean much. What we're talking about, we've looked at this quote before. I'm probably going to say it again. We're talking about growing a garden, not ordering fast food. You're working on growing a garden, cultivating a garden. It takes weeks, it takes years, it takes a long time, it takes work. But the result is beautiful. The result is huge. The result is something we're proud of and we can glorify God in it. It's not a quick give you $5 and get what you want. So this is a start of something that's developing a practice in you. It's not a be in the Bible for a week and then you're good. But if you aren't in Scripture daily, start your practice here. 10 minutes a day, anticipating God to be present and active. With each of these, I want to give you a resource. A really good resource for this is the YouVersion Bible app. It's free. It's good. It has reading plans. It has different reading plans for different stages of life. It has, I'm a first-time grandma Bible reading plan. It has, I'm in fifth grade and my teacher's mean to me reading plan. It has everything. It's really, really good, and it's free. Download it on your phone. If you're not a phone person, that's okay. If you're not the technological phone person, you're never going to download an app, that's okay. Pick up a good old-fashioned book version. Start reading the Gospel of John. Start reading the Gospel of John. There's lots of different places you can start. Maybe you would say start somewhere else. I'm saying start in the Gospel of John. I don't know where the Gospel of John is, Pastor PJ. In the beginning of the Bible is this really cool thing called a table of contents. It'll show you, oh, John's on page 1090. It's not going to be on page 1090 in your Bible. It's on page 1090 in my Bible. Every Bible's, it's kind of different, and I get it's kind of confusing if you're new to it. If you don't have a Bible, if you're not an app person, and you say, I don't own a Bible, there's a Bible in the pew in front of you. Take it home with you. If you see that one, you're like, oh, it's hardcover and kind of old, and people have touched it a lot, I don't want this one. Find me after church, and I will buy you one. Okay? And I'm not kidding. Be in God's word. Don't make excuses. Second step in our practice plan is meditate. Meditate on Scripture. This is where we get a little bit, ooh, this is uncomfortable. This one seems weird, but it's not. The psalmist writes, "How I love your law, I meditate on it all day long. I read it slowly, I read it prayerfully. I chew on it, I visit with it, I marinate in it." It's not just a quick, get the homework done kind of reading. Maybe you can meditate on one verse for a whole week. That's okay. We read Scripture for our formation, not just for information. Okay, we read Scripture for our formation, not just to get information. And meditating on Scripture is not like other forms of Eastern meditation that you may have seen. Okay, when I was an undergrad, we took a really cool, we had this world religions class, and we took different field trips to different, you know, houses of worship for different religions. We went to a Buddhist temple. And in this temple was this big, huge room, about the size of the sanctuary, with these huge pillows, like, everywhere. And I'm like, this religion seems kind of appealing. They look like they nap a lot. But it was, but in honesty, I was blown away because people said that people would sit on these pillows and meditate for hours. I said, wow, I don't have that kind of discipline. That's amazing. But they would sit on these pillows and meditate for hours with the purposes of detachment. The purposes of emptying yourself, of getting rid of all the thoughts, getting rid of anything else that's your anxieties, your thoughts, your whatever, just trying to detach from the world, detach from everything else. That is not the kind of meditation we're talking about with meditating on Scripture. Meditating on Scripture is about attachment to God and His Word. It's not about detachment from everything else. It is about connecting with God through His Holy Spirit-breathed words of Scripture, filling our minds with God's truth, with God's grace, with the message He has for us in this particular season in our life right now, listening for that voice of the Good Shepherd. A Scripture meditation practice that I've used that is really good is called Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina. It sounds, again, it sounds scary and it sounds weird, but it's not. It's just Latin for sacred reading. It just means that you read the Bible purposefully and repeatedly and slowly and prayerfully. Reading a text, reading it out loud, listening to a text and listening to how God might be speaking through it. The resource I want to give for meditation is just a Lectio Divina video guide. This link will give you the link to a YouTube video. It's a 4-minute long Lectio Divina guide. It's 4 minutes. Give it a try. I hope you will. All these resources, by the way, are printed on the back of your bulletin. You don't need to write down absolutely everything. All those resources are in the back of the bulletin already. Third approach to Scripture is study. Third approach to our practice plan for Scripture is study, being studying God's Word, being students of God's Word. John Mark Comer, in his book, he writes that study is the patient application of our mind and heart to the process of learning what the text says. The process of learning what the text says, what it meant to the original audience, and what it means for us today. That's an important distinction. What it meant for the original audience, what it means for us today. And the psalmist prays, "I am your servant, give me discernment, that I may understand your statutes." This is an important prayer. Give me your discernment, O God. Help me understand what you're saying in here. That what we are going for certainly is being formed by the Bible, not just getting information. But this is a fairly complicated book, made up of 66 very different texts. If we have no clue about the historical context of what we're reading, or the genre, or the authorship, or the themes, or the purpose, or the really anything, we're probably going to get confused. So it's important to do a little bit of study. Study helps us know the difference between Exodus and Philippians. Some of you know the difference between those. Some of you are like, I don't know that. And that's okay. I just need to study a little bit. It's important to know the difference between the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of John. That's, how can you say that? They're both gospels. They're both stories, the accounts of Jesus' life and ministry. How different can they be? The Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of John are really, really, really different. If you don't believe me, read them both this week. They're really different. And they're meant to be different. They have different purpose. They have different authorship. They have different times when they were written. They're meant to be different. Okay, and understanding what we're reading requires a little bit of study. And sometimes when you read, it's going to be important to pray like the psalmist prayed. To pray, God, I don't understand this. Help me understand. God, give me that resource. Give me that person. Give me that insight so I know what this is saying. The psalmist is very real. I am your servant. Give me discernment that I might understand your statutes. That's assuming that we enter Scripture not understanding everything. God, we need you to come down. Help us understand. Walk with us in this. Help me understand what you're saying here. God invites us and commands us to follow him, to be pursuing him. And that includes seeking out his insight when we have questions about a text or what the Bible is saying. A really good practical resource, an easy resource to look through, is the website BibleProject.com. BibleProject.com/explore. Again, this is in the back of your bulletin already. This will lead you to lots and lots of different videos that have breakdowns of each different book of the Bible. It has really good videos on specific themes, and it even breaks down some Hebrew and Greek words. It is really good, and all the videos are very easy to follow. If you're a quick, kind of less than 10-minute video kind of person, this is a very good place to start. If you're more of I need a huge commentary person, talk to me after church, and I will give you some ideas for that too. Fourth approach to Scripture in our practice plan is memorize. Being memorizing God's word. The psalmist, I have hidden your word in my heart. I've hidden your word in my heart. I've internalized it. It's become a part of who I am. I know it. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Jesus memorized Scripture. As a rabbi, Jesus very likely had the entire Old Testament memorized. As he was being tempted by the devil after his 40 days of fasting in the wilderness, Jesus battled the devil by throwing scriptures at him. You attack me, you lie to me, what about what God says here? He refuted the devil's attacks with scripture. As Jesus hung on the cross, paying the price for our sins, feeling rejected by God, by everything around him, he cried out the words of Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's Psalm 22. Okay, so we read and we meditate and we study and we memorize Scripture as apprentices of Jesus, doing as he did. And with this last one, this is the one where it's going to be easiest to be like, I'm not doing that one. I'll read it for 10 days. I wrote it down. I wrote it down in pen, even though he said not to. But I'll read for 10 minutes a day. But memorizing it, come on. I'm not a child. I'm not in VBS. I'm not in Awana. I'm not in Sunday school right now. It's not going to happen. This is going to be the one where you're going to feel like you're too good for it, or you don't have time for it, or you're going to say, you know what? I am just not good at memorizing stuff, so nope. I will admit, it may come harder to you to memorize than it will others. I can get that. I can respect that. But we can all memorize. I'll prove it to you. What was the phone number of your home growing up that you probably haven't called in 30 years? Yep, I know mine. I know my best friend's phone number, too. Doesn't live there anymore. Hasn't lived there for 30 years. What's your favorite song? Think for a second. What's my favorite song? You're going through the lyrics in your mind right now. How about this? I got to take some water. Bad news, I'm going to sing to you. The best part of waking up. You like are so excited to sing it's Folgers in Your Cup. You're like getting up and singing right now. It's like, you know it's Folgers in Your Cup. Why? You've memorized it. And yes, it takes repetition. And yes, you've heard that commercial 400 bazillion times in your life. But you can memorize. You can do it if you work at it. And I don't say memorize the entire Bible. I mean, if you're that kind of person, go for it. Start with a verse. Start with a short verse. Start with your favorite verse. Something that can guide your life. A really good resource for Bible memorization is this app. It's called the Verses Bible Memory app. So again, it's another free app. It helps you actually literally study about how to memorize a book of the Bible. It's a really good step-by-step tool for memorization if you want to do this. Okay, so we covered this practice plan really, really, really quick. Read, meditate, study, memorize. Last resource I want to give you, this website. This is, again, another YouTube link. There's half-hour videos on each one of these, 4 half-hour videos, one on read, one on meditate, one on study, one on memorize, talking more and more and more about this, about the importance of these practices. Again, this link, as well as all the other resources I gave you, are printed on the back of your bulletin. I don't give you resources just to say we've gotten some nice resources and not do anything about it. I put some time and some thought into the resources I give you in hopes that you'll go deeper, in hopes that you'll explore some of these things, in hopes that you actually will be in the Bible this week a little bit. It is my hope that you don't hear an entire sermon on how God can bless and transform your life through his word, then just go home and I didn't do anything with it. Don't let this be a waste of time for you. Use some of these resources. Find some of your own. Okay, these resources are not meant to be the best resources that have ever existed. They're just a starting point. Find some of your own that work for you. Because as apprentices of Jesus, Scripture is essential for our spiritual growth. It's what Jesus taught. It's what he lived out. Last quote I want to give you before we come to communion. There's an author named Andrew Wilson, and he wrote a book called Unbreakable, What the Son of God Said About the Word of God. His book's called Unbreakable, What the Son of God Said About the Word of God. And he writes this. Andrew Wilson says, I trust the Bible because I trust in Jesus. I love him. I've decided to follow him. So if he talks and acts as if the Bible is trustworthy, authoritative, good, helpful, and powerful, I will too. And if some of my questions remain unanswered, even if some of my questions remain unanswered or my answers remain unpopular, Jesus wants to meet with us and speak to us in Scripture and shape us through Scripture. This is not a chore to feel guilty about. It's a means of us being available to God working in our lives. Let's not neglect his word. If it's new to you and you need some help, talk to me. This is not a guilt thing. If you come to me and you're like, you know what, I've never picked up the Bible before. This is all really new. I don't get it. I will help you. I will not shame you. I will help you. We all need a starting point with this. This is a means of us being available to God's grace. So is the Lord's table, a means of us being available to God working by his grace in our lives. This is not just a time where we remember that Jesus died for us. It's an act of worship where we're invited to meet Jesus at his table by his grace, by his love, because we can never earn or deserve what Jesus did for us, what he continues to do for us. So let's spend a moment preparing our hearts to come to the table. Let's spend a moment in quiet reflection, confession, and repentance before we come to the table together. Let's spend a moment in the quiet.